if you have to pick any book under the self-help section, this would be the book that I would recommend the most because it's number one, it's really helpful and it's based in the Quran and the Sunnah. Based on the Quran and the Sunnah. So it's really good, especially for Muslims.
ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض.
Okay, بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أهلا وسهلا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to the Barakah Effect podcast. Today we are going to review a book, 8 Steps of Happiness, Awakening the Inner Self in Pursuit of Personal Change by Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman Nasir As-Sa'di rahimahullah. He is also authored tafsir of the Quran. I can't remember the exact name of the tafsir, but here in Malaysia it is known as Tafsir As-Sa'di. So we have our teacher here teaching the tafsir every week. Alhamdulillah, what I have here is the English translation of the book. I think I ordered it from,
we also
with Shahmi, right?
Yeah, we have the same book.
Okay.
Eight steps to happiness. Yeah, you don't have it? No, you should have it, inshallah. Right?
Okay, inshallah.
So I think, Brother Shahmi, you don't have the original Arabic.
No, I don't have the original Arabic, no. But we can actually download PDF files of the original work done by Sheikh Abdurrahman As-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. It was published way back. It was written in back in before the 50s because he unfortunately he died in the 50s, rahimahullah ta'ala. But it was published, I think, a bit later. But alhamdulillah, this book was... It's very, very good. So I'll, inshallah, in a bit, I will share you what I like, particularly like about the book, inshallah.
Okay. So the book, 8 Steps to Happiness, are explained by the Sheikh according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we will have our brother Shahmi to share the insight and the points from the book. Tafaddal, akhi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah, amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alul hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Amin. So jazakallahu khaira and thank you so much brother Aziz for introducing today's podcast session, alhamdulillah. And welcome brothers and sisters, the audience, once again to the Barakah Effect podcast. So as brother Aziz have mentioned, today, it is another time for another book review. All right. And today I will be reviewing the book, 8 Steps to Happiness, Awakening the Inner Self in Pursuit of Personal Change. This book was published in, I think it was quite recent, in 2020. Okay. By a publisher named Darus Sunnah. It's based in Birmingham, United Kingdom. So, as always, before we start, you know, discussing or to be exact, like summarizing what the book is all about, reviewing the book, what is it all about, right? Perhaps it will be befitting for us to know who the author is. So in short, the author is none other than the esteemed Sheikh Abdurrahman bin Nasir As-Sa'di or As-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he is actually... one of the most prominent alim or scholars in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He is one of the ulama al-mu'asirin, the contemporary scholars of Saudi Arabia, and he is the most beloved teacher of the famous and the most and the esteemed Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. He is the Sheikh of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahumallahu ta'ala. So a bit of his background, he was born in the city of Unayza in Qasim, in Saudi Arabia. So Qasim is actually located near to Riyadh, the current city of Saudi Arabia, right? So in the year 1889 CE or AD, Right? So he was born in the late 19th century. Right? So interestingly, he grew up as an orphan. So he was when he was 4 years old, his mother died, and 3 years later, his father died. Subhanallah. Wow. And despite that, growing up as an orphan, he had an excellent upbringing. So wow. This is sort of like a contrary to what we, you know, perceive right nowadays when we have, you know, children abandoned or maybe orphans, right? They will be abandoned and subhanallah, they will grow up to become, God knows what, right? But this means that we can actually raise someone who is an orphan to become an excellent human being. Right, so he was extremely dedicated from a young age.
Was it his extended family or another family?
That's the thing. I don't really know that yet. Oh, inshallah. Okay. So maybe we can dig further. Inshallah. But I would like to know that as well. So he was extremely dedicated. So this is this description is what we can find in actually we can find it in this book, right? So he was extremely dedicated in memorizing the Quran. At the age of 11 years old, he was already a hafiz. He was he memorized the whole Quran, mashallah, tabarakallah. And also, he didn't stop at that. He strove as hard as he could to learn the Islamic sciences. And until at the age of 24 years old, he was already teaching. He was already teaching in schools, right? And
24, of course, mashallah.
24 years old. Imagine what 24 years old me. What was I doing? I was playing games and
still jamming, huh?
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, jamming. Subhanallah. So, yeah, but after that, he continued to study at the feet of the scholars, right? Mm-hmm. And he devoted himself in seeking knowledge until he became the leader in religious authority in his land, which is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And had students from flocking to him from every direction. And of course, as you know, as I mentioned before, inshallah, we will one of his most prominent students, we will mention his name again, as we mentioned him before, inshallah. So besides that, he is known to have a beautiful akhlaq. He was humble. He used to mix with the people with regardless of age and regardless of their status. He spent time with both the poor and the rich, the young and old, and he was known to be fair in settling disputes. So this is a rare trait actually nowadays, mm-hmm. right? Because when we settle disputes, we tend to have a we want to lean on one side, right? So this is something that is quite rare nowadays. And he was also open-minded in the sense that he never looked down upon people who had a different fixed opinion in one matter. For example, in the way of doing the salah, right? Where should you place your hand, right? Some people they call it shadid lah, like they are really say no, you have to put it like this. No, you have to put it down here. But he was really down to earth, and he was really open minded about it. And he was also an expert in tafsir. So that's why, as Brother Aziz mentioned. He is actually most known for his tafsir work, which he named it Taisirul Karim Al-Mannan, or is Tafsir Al-Sa'di, right? So it's taught almost everywhere, even in Malaysia and even in the Haram, in the Masjid Nabawi, we have had a teacher teaching the same tafsir. So who is his most prominent student? None other than Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymin, as we know, that he produced many, many scholars. His students became scholars in today's in this day and age. So, subhanAllah, this is the barakah of the teacher, passing down the knowledge to the students, and the students became the teacher, and so on and so forth, right? So this is unquestionably a barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, he died at the age of 69 years old in the year 1956 CE in his own hometown in Unayza, rahimahullah ta'ala. So looking at the life of the brief life of this scholar, he didn't travel outside of Saudi Arabia, and yet his teaching reaches the east and the west, subhanAllah. So this is one of the ways that we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places barakah in their efforts. So that is about the author. May Allah bless him and may Allah continue to bless his work. Rahimahullah ta'ala.
Ameen. Yeah, by the way, it's right, so, it can be either a Sa'di or a Si'di, right?
Because yes, correct. Both, huh? Correct. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Sheikh Al-Usaymi, rahimahullah, hafizahullah ta'ala, he said that the mashhur, the famous way of saying it is As-Sa'di with a fatha, with a baris atas, right? But the real way of saying it is actually with the kasra, As-Sa'di. So this is just a lughawi, a benefit of the students of knowledge. They can benefit from this in terms of Arabic. It's not really that important, but this is a ilm. So yes, you are correct, brother. Sa'di or Sidi, either way is correct.
Yeah, interesting. Right. I know that because that means Arabic names might have different pronunciations, which is for us it's culturally like, what, really, like.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they change according to the sentence, right?
Yeah. That, correct. Well, when you have the signs of Nahu and Sarf and so on, right? So this is very important sciences that we actually need to learn. Maybe just a little bit. Okay. So right. So let's get to the book. So here we have the book. Aziz and I have the book, right? It's called Eight Steps to Happiness. So first of all, I will provide a summary of what the book is all about. Okay, so what is the story the book is trying to tell? So first of all, the book is a translation of Sheikh Nasir al-Sa'di's original work, which is called Al-Wasa'il al-Mufida lil-Hayati al-Sa'ida. Okay, Al-Wasa'il al-Mufida lil-Hayati al-Sa'ida, which one can literally translate as beneficial ways for a happy life, to attain a happy life. Beneficial ways to attain a happy life. So he didn't actually mention eight. So this eight steps is a bid'ah. It's an innovation on the translator's part.
Okay.
No, it's a good bid'ah. It's a good bid'ah, inshallah. So the book
probably
can essentially
take some inspiration from the modern approaches, right? Like seven habits. Yeah, right?
Seven habits. Yes, correct. And you actually, I googled eight steps to achieve to happiness. I actually found a book, Eight Steps to Happiness, which was written by a Western scholar. So I don't know who he is, but he's a professor in a university or something. So yeah, it seems like the translator is trying to jump on that bandwagon lah. You know, they're trying to make this book like under the genre of self-help or something like this. And it is correct actually, because this book, right? Yeah. If you have to pick any book under the self-help section, this would be the book that I would recommend the most, because it's, number one, it's really helpful, and it's based in the Quran and the Sunnah. Based on the Quran and the Sunnah. So it's really good, especially for Muslims. Right? Okay, so anyway, the book was called, it's originally called Al-Wasa'il al-Mufida lil-Hayati al-Sa'idah. All right? So the book mentions eight profound ways, as highlighted by the translator, eight profound ways to achieve real happiness and simultaneously getting rid of sadness, grief, and anxiety. So this is the main theme of the book. How do you attain happiness? You know, how do you attain happiness and simultaneously getting rid of the feeling of sadness, grief, and anxiety, right? So this is the main discussion of the book. And so the book addresses Muslims who are in a struggle to achieve true happiness in trying times. Okay, because every zaman, every era, we have a different challenges we face, right? So what I feel when I read this book is that it is relevant in, regardless of when you, which era you live, whether you're living in the 50s or the 60s, 70s, or even today, it is still relevant. Because why? It is based in the Quran, on the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Quran and the Sunnah, they are relevant from the day it was revealed until the end of time. So it's really good. This is my opinion. And also, we have also what I want to share is also the translator's description of the book itself. The translator Darussunnah, they actually provide a summary of the book. So I think it they word it perfectly, in which I will share a quote. Everyone chases after happiness. So you can actually read the book, Aziz. You can actually read this quote. It's on the final page on the back side of the book, right? So the translator says, everyone chases after happiness, yet few fully recognize what it is or from where it comes from. Happiness isn't a destination, but a journey needing certain inner qualities and a right state of mind to experience and reap. It's neither sold as a commodity nor can be bought, except through carefully crafting one's character and following a plan of action. For indeed, those who don't plan will fail to realize desired results. And likewise, this is an addition from myself. And likewise, those who plan will come to realize and inshallah obtain the desired results. Right. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in a hadith was narrated in Sahih Bukhari, which means those among us destined to be from the people of happiness in the hereafter will find it easy to enact, to act upon deeds of people of happiness. Have you heard of this hadith?
Oh.
Those who are destined, right?
Kullu mayassarun lima khuliqa lahu.
Yes, kul sahih. I'malu, right? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, like, just do your deeds, right? Kullu muyassirun lima khuliqa lahu. Aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So this is a very profound hadith. So yeah, that is a hadith that is, you know, sort of ties our deeds with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in our perspective, we don't know the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ourselves need to realize, right, that we need to do something to better ourselves and to achieve the desired result, which is a good life in this life and the hereafter. Right. So basically, this is the summary of the book. So the eight general headings, okay, we can actually find in the introduction of the book. So there are eight steps, right? So the step number one is true belief or iman and performing good deeds, amal salih. So this is step number one. So this is step number one to achieve happiness. Okay, number two, step number two, occupying oneself with activity or useful knowledge. And under it, under step two, there's a section one that says occupying oneself with the present. So subhanAllah, not only we need to occupy ourselves with useful activity and knowledge, but we need to also focus on the present, right? Because if we focus on the past, hazan, al-huzun will come to our hearts. We will feel sad and remorse and grief. Regret, right? Grief. Mm-hmm. And this will ultimately cause us to disrupt our daily lives. But similarly, if we think about the future too much and not the present, we'll be struck with anxiety. Wal-iyadu billah, right? So this is step number two. And now step number three is remembrance, dhikr and thankfulness, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And under step number three, the sheikh, or rather the translator, has divided two sections. Section one about thankfulness, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is the action of the heart, but mainly the action of the heart. But it should produces the action of the limbs as well. That is why the second section comes to play, implementing the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we are thankful, we will do good. And how do we do good? In accordance to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the guidance. He is the guide, right? So this is step number three. Step number four, removing whatever produces sadness and seeking the means of happiness. Okay, so that is why under the section, using the Prophet's supplications, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us so many ad'iyah or du'as, right, that deals with sadness and anxiety, so on and so forth. It's just up to us to search them and to memorize them and to say them on a daily basis, right? So that's step number four. Step number five imagining the worst situations. When I first saw this title, I was like, huh? Imagining the worst situation? Isn't
it's
that counterproductive?
Confusing, right? Yeah, true.
Yeah, isn't that counterproductive? Huh?
Yeah.
I was a bit confused. But inshallah, I'll share with you guys that actually step number five is one of my favorite ones. Actually, it turns out to be one of my favorite ones. Imagining the worst situations, because it was totally 180 from what I perceived it to be, right? So that's step number five. Step number six, firmness and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ma'ruf. If we were to have a happy life, we need to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word is tawakkul, right? Right. So tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tawakkul doesn't only mean we leave everything to Allah. But among the things that compounds tawakkul is also doing, acting upon the means to achieve it, to achieve the thing that we want, right? And then we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's step number six. Step number seven, repelling evil with good. Repelling evil with good. Wallahi, this actually is something that I think for myself, never really given it much thought, because when we repel evil with good, we actually find happiness. We will feel tranquility, we will feel calmness in our hearts, actually. But this is something that I see many people, including myself, we tend to look past over this. We don't really care about this so much. So that's step number seven. And under step number seven, we have the section of high aspiration, uluwatul himmah, and inner energy. Whoa, inner energy is another word that when I saw this, immediately reminds me of, all these gurus, right? This
Zen stuff, right?
Yeah, Zen stuff. Yeah. I don't know the word to describe, but yes, Zen stuff, right? But actually, when I read the book, I was like, oh, okay, that's what he meant by inner energy. Okay, so okay. Step number eight.
Oh, by the way, so high aspirations is part of number seven under the repelling evil with good chapter.
Yes, So I was quite pleasantly surprised why it was put under that step, the section high aspirations, because he says that with high aspirations, then you will have the drive to repel evil, something like this, right? And you want good for the people, you want good for yourself, you want good for the community. So the high aspiration is what gives you that fuels your need for amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar.
Right. So those high aspirations is what sort of drives the good akhlaq for you to do the to repel evil with good.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah, that's the way it is. So step number eight, enjoying moments of happiness. So this is I find it really nice that the Sheikh mentioned this. Because some would say that if you are Islam, you need to be serious all the time, right? You don't indulge yourself in happiness, right? But here you have the Sheikh, one of the senior scholars of Saudi Arabia, says that to enjoy moments of happiness, because it is important. Because we need to enjoy the moments that we have. We need to enjoy the moments that we have with our family, our children, our wife, right? If not, we will live in a constant fear, and that is not hayatun tayyibah, as mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said in the Quran. So under step eight, the Sheikh, or rather this translator, divided into three sections. Section number one, expecting Allah's response. It's beautiful, because when we enjoy the happy moments, right, we will make du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless us with this moment of happiness, and we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to the dua, maybe to by prolonging the happiness that we have, and by to bless it more, so on and so forth, right? And section number two, taking lessons from calamities. And there's a dua, right? Wallahi, brothers, calamities are there for a reason, right? I know when many years ago, I can only speak for myself. When calamity strike, right? When calamity befell, you almost feel like you are crippled, right? You don't know what to do, and you feel like it's a punishment, and so on and so forth. But Islam encourages us to see the prawn behind the rock, the udang sebalik batu, or the silver prawn lining of the rock. Huh?
It's the first time I hear somebody translate that. Not bad.
Okay lah. Oh, you want lobster? So can lah. Lobster. Alright, so yeah, lobster even
it's
better.
Always a wisdom, right?
Yeah, lobster is better, more juicy, more delicious, right? So yes, there is always something, you know, to learn from when calamities happen, right? So this is among the things that, you know, we need to be reminded of time and time again. And finally, section number three, we need to prioritize. Section number three, which is under step number eight, right? Prioritize important tasks. You can't be happy if you can't prioritize important tasks first, right? Because everything will be jumbled, right? Have you experienced this yourself? Like, you have a lot of maybe 5-6 tasks on your hand, right? You want to enjoy. You want to enjoy to be in the company of your family, but you have so many things in mind, right? You have so many things in mind. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, my boss is calling me. He asked me to do this, right? Or my mom needs me to get this. So what's your priority? What's your priority? So we need to prioritize important tasks. Then we can enjoy the moments of happiness. So this is...
This reminds me of a tip that Aziz shared in the episode about productivity. Nail the elephant first, then the rabbits. Right, Aziz?
Yeah. yep.
Okay.
Yes. So what's your elephant, right? The question is, what's your elephant? So
we'll always have rabbits. Elephant first. I think that's the life lesson. We will always have urgent rabbits that will scream down our necks.
Even and if you're always in ibadah, right?
Ignore the rabbits.
So if you're always attending to the rabbits, then you actually, it's difficult to enjoy the happiness moments, right? Because you're always firefighting and you don't know where to start, right? So I think that's the key of attaining the happiness there.
Yes, exactly. So these are basically the 8 steps. And I don't know about you, but reading through the titles, these 8 steps, you know, it's sort of, you know, you feel like, oh, this makes sense, right? This makes sense. This can actually lead me to be a happier person. This is what my first impression is. When I finish reading the book and I reread the introduction, it makes total sense for me. Like, oh, mashallah, this can actually, help a person to become happier with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So
yeah, just some observations, because if like these points, actually, mashallah, they're really nice. But from an average layman point of view, they kind of already know that this is already there in Islam, right?
Soleh,
dhikr, gratitude, firmness and tawakkul, repelling evil with good. But somehow, maybe people have not been taught that these are the ways to be happy. Happiness aspect is not the practical side of things, they're not taught. So it's like people treat it as sort of like a ritual, like, you know, that kind of thing. So they don't tie it to that this is actually a way that I can become happier in my life. I think that's the key lesson behind it.
Sahih. You are absolutely correct. Because when we were children, or when we were teenagers, right? When I was a teenager, at least, when people gave a Friday sermon, for example, and telling us to remember Allah often, do dhikr, lots of shukr, like it's just like something you gotta do because it's a part of your religion, right. But when it was laid out in front of us like this, and with, you know, deep and meaningful insights, you know, suddenly it becomes like a whole different thing, you know. Suddenly it becomes like a whole different thing. So this is what we actually need. Our community needs this. So that is why I highly recommend this book for everyone who can speak English and read the language. So let's go to the second part, which I would like to share, inshallah, if that's okay. About what do I think of the book. I think I shared it already with you guys that I really enjoy the book, but the book, I would like to say that the book manages to bring about short, concise and meaningful steps, these 8 steps to be exact. They are easy to be understood and put into practice. Wallahi, they are easy to be understood, and like you said, Brother Faisal, Muslims have already have the notion of these eight things, right? They can be understood quite well, and actually they are easy to be practiced, okay? And these things, if we practice in accordance, inshallah, to what the Sheikh says, we can attain true happiness. So, subhanAllah, because when you read the author's brief, biography, he learned at the feet of the scholars for many, many years, for tens of years, right? So we know without a doubt that he rectified these eight steps from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the maxims and from the rulings of the Sharia. He sort of picked the best ones and laid it out in this small short treatise, which is called the Al Wasailul Mufida, or Eight Steps to Happiness.
How many pages is it, by the way? Yeah?
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention pages. That. It's 80. Only 80 pages.
80 pages only. Mm,
so it's about like 10 pages per tip, lah.
Yes, about that. And also, it's worth mentioning that besides these eight steps, right? The author also provides appendices. So there's appendix one until
five. The eight steps is only 45 pages. And the appendix is from 46 up until...
Yeah. So these appendices, now appendix one, okay, let's just read through. It's called Patience and Victory. So Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With patience comes victory. So there's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which says that Inna ma'as sabr, Inna al-karba ma'as sabr, aw kama qala Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like if with patience, victory will come. So the whole whole appendix is about making the readers understand, inshallah, that if you are patient, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid you in anything that you want Him to aid you in, right? And also appendix number two is similar to appendix number one, which is relief accompanies distress. Relief accompanies distress. When you are distressed, after distress, percayalah, believe that after that a relief will come. Inna ma'al usri yusra, okay? And then appendix number three, ease accompanies hardship. So after hardship, there is ease. Again, these are all similar things, but and appendix number four is something different. He brought the benefits of tribulation by Al-Izz Abdus Salam. So this is another scholar, a past scholar. So he actually wrote a small treatise about the benefits of tribulation. So this is something that is worth reading. And then, inshallah, we will be able to see that, you know, when there's tribulation, you know, we will become a better person than before if we choose to be patient, right? So appendix number five finally is seeking Allah's help, which is very of utmost importance, right? Seeking Allah's help. So he didn't mention why did he actually put this down? Why did he pen these appendices? But I think that he is trying to, you know, ground the reader on the reality of life, and that these things that he mentioned, these eight steps, come from the Quran and the Sunnah, and specifically the ayat or the verses that mentions patience and victory, relief accompanies distress, ease accompanies hardship, so on and so forth. So I think this is one of the reasons why he mentions this, right? So I hope that is clear.
Just judging from the type, the chapter summary and the appendices, it just seems like it's almost like two different books, huh? Because the appendices is like a very, it seems like one theme, a consistent detailed theme. Yeah, yep. It's detailed, but it's like a consistent theme, right? About patience, about distress, about ease and hardship, benefits of tribulations, and even seeking Allah's help kind of like just wraps around that. So it seems like that's one book by itself. Huh? And then the eight steps is like, that's just my observation.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, you can say, right.
Two risala combined to one.
Yeah.
It's two books
for the price of one.
Betul. Inshallah. Yeah, sahih. So all in all, You if you buy this book, you get two books, essentially, right? You get two books. And it's really, and also it's worth mentioning too that the second part or the appendices It's mainly not the kalam or not the words of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'idi himself. But in fact,
which one, sorry? Those which are, one is not from him?
The appendices. He merely quotes. He merely quotes, and maybe with a minor ta'liq, comments here and there from him.
Oh, so who minor compiles the appendices? Here. Then that's from the translator, is it?
No, I think that's from the because I haven't read the original book of the Sheikh yet.
Okay.
But I believe it's penned by the Sheikh himself because it seems like it's penned by him. But inshallah, we'll look into that again. Inshallah. But ala kulli hal, both of the book entirely is very beneficial for those who, you know, are seeking. So this is my third point, and inshallah the last point.
Just my observation. Yeah. I think it's interesting because he puts the appendices to, it's almost like to, because when you read like steps to be happy, right? But for a person who's going through hardship, it's kind of difficult to think like how you want to be happy if I'm going through all this stress and this difficulty and tribulations, right? So there's appendices to sort of put it to perspective, that, you know, so.
Okay. Correct.
I think that's the deal, because sometimes when people are going, and normally people who read these books, sometimes they are going through some difficulties, right? They want some solutions.
Mm.
So I think sometimes, so probably it seems to me the author tries to remove this perception that, oh, it's easy for you to say you're not going through hard times, you know, that kind of thing. So
probably it's
to put to rest this kind of, this put these perspectives.
I think by the way, I think it's worth mentioning too that when he mentions all of this, like hardship, ease accompanies hardship and all these things, right? Mm. Those who might say that, oh, it's easy for you to say, you are a scholar, you just write all these things down, right? But he grew up as an orphan. He made his way up. He worked so hard to achieve what he achieved, right? So there's no such thing. So this is merely just a tohmahan, like a hearsay, okay? So this is someone who struggled from a very young age, right? So there's no reason why he would not feel all these feelings of, you know, despair and sadness, right? So, subhanAllah, I think this is one of the strength of the book. And okay, also maybe there are some things that I would wanna evaluate. Okay, there are some elements of the book that I found to be to work well, and some didn't. Okay, so what element worked well for me? Actually, there's only one element for me, at least for me, that I found it not to work that well, but I have two elements which I think worked really well. So one of them is that the language of the Sheikh, right? The language, the original Arabic that the Sheikh used was easy enough until the translator himself, when he translated it into English, you know, it's straightforward. Very easy to understand English. No mumbo jumbo. No bombastic words whatsoever. And this is true because this style of writing trickles down to Sheikh Sa'di's students, such as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen's work is known to be very easy to be read and to be understood by people of different age and different levels of understanding.
Very accessible.
So this is very accessible. Very accessible. Even if you know basic Arabic, inshallah, you can read it with not with Isla, but you know, you can read it with you can read it with unlike reading Ibn Taymiyyah's work, for example, right? Ibn Taymiyyah's work is really really hard to comprehend, right? Unless you are expert in Ibn Taymiyyah's fikrah or thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is just a side benefit. Also, okay, the one element that didn't work for me, ironically as well, is also linguistic, because sometimes, not only sometimes, the translator uses words and style of writing that might not be familiar to to readers who are perhaps not highly proficient in English. Okay, for example. So this is sometimes people might need one might want to refer to a dictionary or ask someone who knows the words, right? So this
like,
is the only
like prawn behind the rock, huh?
Ah, the prawn behind the rock.
Something like that, because it's a Malay phrase, right? I think we have
it's a Malay phrase.
So
yeah, Malay phrase.
Udang di sebalik batu, right? But then outside of our culture, maybe like what prawn? Like what?
There's something like this.
So it's difficult to relate the context, lah. I think I know what you mean. So there's certain Arabic like expressions that if you don't really know the context, it's kind of difficult to relate, lah. Yeah, I noticed some of the English translated books are like that. Not this book. Yeah. I haven't read this book, but yeah, I noticed they have this common pattern that sometimes when the translator is not. Maybe not in the shoes of somebody who has no idea about Arabic culture, right? Maybe sometimes it's difficult to convey, right?
Correct. Yeah. So this is the only feedback that I have about the book, lah. Would I recommend this book? I think I've said this before. I would highly recommend this book to anyone. To be specific, I would say that readers who are seeking to understand the meaning of life in general, right? There will come a time when a person will just try to find the meaning of life, right? Everyone goes through this journey. So this is the book for you. Okay? And also those who are tired of chasing the dunya, for example. Why am I not happy? I have everything. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful family. I have a big house. But why am I not happy? So this is the book for you. And also for a regular practicing Muslim trying to find an iman, trying to find an iman lift. Right. So they all these people may find the book enjoyable, and 100% they will find this book beneficial. Okay, so
I think because relating back to what we shared, right? Because sometimes as Muslims we might already do this, but we don't realize that actually fuels our happiness. Not just in akhirah, but also in dunya. So when you read this kind of writings, you're like, this is actually something that can uplift you. Actually,
correct, exactly. So I would totally recommend this book, like I said, 100%. And I feel like the one who reads this book, right, will realize that Islam has had solutions to all the illnesses that encompasses the mind, body, and soul. The 8 steps that the Sheikh shared, for me, it just felt right. And I dare say that it is attuned to our fitrah. So it's not a step that when you read and when you try to read, when you try to implement the step, it will feel janggal. You will feel like awkward or something. No.
Oh, okay.
Each step you try to practice, inshallah, you will find tranquility, calmness in doing those steps, in following those steps. Yeah. So, barakallahu fikum. That's all for me. That's all from me. With regards to 8 steps to happiness. So I highly recommend this book. Go to your nearest Islamic bookstores like Da'wah Corner bookstore to get this book, inshallah, if they have if they have it, or you can order it online, inshallah. I highly recommend it.
I think another side point as well, because actually while you were just sharing this, I actually Googled up this title, 8 Steps to Happiness, and I found a few results. So I think the one you're referring to, the author is Anthony Grant and Alison Lee.
There are two authors. That's the one.
But there's another one, which is a Buddhist book, actually.
Oh, really?
8 Steps to Happiness, the Buddhist Way of Loving Kindness. And if you actually see this title, so the title, the author is Gish Kelsang. I don't know how to pronounce the name. If you look at the title,
make sure to get the right title. Right. Look at the author's name. His name is Arabic. Okay.
But I think there's a point here because when I talk about happiness, right? If you don't have, because everyone has, if you don't without religion, everyone has their own subjective view about how to be happy. And I think if you consult different authors, they'll have their own different steps. And actually, Allahu a'lam whether it's true or not. But the key here is that when you take tips from the Quran and Sunnah, you know this comes from our Creator, and you know that this applies for every single human being. There's no cultural difference, there's no age difference, there's no like rich people are like this, poor people are like this. You know, because sometimes authors, like if you don't have religion, authors, they have their own perception and their own interpretation. Yeah, someone that have more knowledge.
Their own experiment, right? Their own experiment.
Yeah, experiment.
Their research may be limited.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no disrespect to them. This is just human beings, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah, correct.
But if like you get the tips from the creator, confirm.
Oh,
khalas, alhamdulillah, right? You definitely be happy. If you're not, then at least you know, like, okay, maybe there's something I need to tweak further, right? At least you have that motivation. Yeah. As opposed to like if you read like 8 Steps to Happiness from let's say just an author who doesn't have this grounding, is a religious grounding. If you try the steps, you're like, I'm still not happy. I think this author is wrong. You know, you always have that kind But for Quran, it's never going to happen, right?
No.
Yeah. So I think that's the benefit of reading this kind of perspective as Muslims.
Yes. If you find that a step, maybe one of these steps that you are trying to practice, it doesn't reach something that you desire, right? It's probably that maybe you haven't, maybe your niyyah, check your niyyah, your intention, right? What's your intention in doing this step, right? What is your, are you doing it right? Maybe ask the scholars that are the scholars in your locality. How do I actually achieve, for example, the step number one, iman, right, sound iman, and how do I actually reap the most from my amal salih, my good deeds? So these are the things you need to find local scholars that have the sound knowledge of the deen, sound knowledge of Islam. And inshallah, by the will of Allah, Allah will help you to understand and help you to move further, to be finally be happy in your life and inshallah in the next.
Inshallah.
Okay, I have one inshallah. Question of you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The step number 5. Imagining the worst.
Oh yeah, situation. Tell me more, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You need to answer the question.
So, imagining the worst situation. So when I first read this book, I was like, if you imagine the worst of situations, aren't you gonna be in constant fear of something, right?
Right.
But actually, for a Muslim, when you fear something, the fear must be balanced with another thing, which is a raja or a hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fear that I was thinking before I even read this step number 5, right, is the fear without raja in Allah, the fear without hoping in Allah's mercy and hoping in Allah's aid. So subhanAllah, when we read this, for example, in page 35, right, so the sheikh, he writes, when one is stricken with fear or khawf, or illness, or poverty, and deprivation of what he likes and covets, let him receive these afflictions and with tranquility. So this is the key here, right? You imagine the worst, and then when you are finally affected with the worst situation ever, he said to let him receive these afflictions with tranquility, with a calm heart, and dedication in resisting the worst that these afflictions could bring. Because when you are afflicted with a bad situation, right, it can only be worse if you let it be worse, right? So you need to calm yourself down. You need to receive it with a calm heart and understand that this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Correct? Because if you let yourself, if you let your whims take over you, You will start to act like, oh, macam mana ni? How you will start to act like all panic and all this. So shaitan will have control over you. So this is subhanAllah. So this chapter, subhanAllah, it really speaks to me, like, because I was back in my teenage years, I do feel this. I do feel like I'm always in constant fear or something.
For a person who is been tested or have calamity.
Yes. Yeah. Or just
you need to imagine
like irrational fear.
Something worse can more happen. For example, right? You cut your you have a cut on your hand. Why this happened to me? It's better than losing your hand, right? It's
like yes. Yeah. Oh. And by imagining the worst situations, right? Imagining the worst situations, when something bad finally happens to you, right, that something bad couldn't be worse than what you imagine. So when it finally happens to you, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it's not that bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to me. Yeah. He has made it easy for me to endure this pain or endure this hardship. Right. Because when you imagine the worst, you will, for example, right? What could happen to my house? The worst thing that could happen to my house is my house will be on fire and everything will, you know, be gone, right?
Right.
But maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you with a leak in your from your ceiling, right? Which what happened to me like a few months ago. So alhamdulillah, it's not fire, but it's just a leak, right? So this is everything you can salvage. You can salvage your stuff, but what if the fire eats everything? Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from something worse. So this is essentially what step 5 is all about.
Mashallah.
Very good. Step,
it's really enlightening, really mashallah.
Yeah.
Really effective, yeah. Mashallah, mashallah.
Yeah, there was a statement from the Salaf that said something like this. Whenever I'm struck by calamity, I'm grateful for 4 things. And one of that is like, one of the things is, the one thing is like, that this calamity is not a calamity in my religion. And then I can't remember the others.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
remember that, right? And then there was the
The worst is, the worst is the calamity in your religion. If Allah tests your religion, waliyadu billah, and subhanallah, waliyadu billah, that might take us out from the fall of Islam. This is the worst calamity. This is the worst ever calamity, especially if we die in that state. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us safety in this life and in the next.
Yeah, and then the other one was like he said that because it could be worse, but it's not the worst thing that can happen. So I think it relates back to this one, right? So the fact that Allah tested it, like number one, it's not in my religion, and that it's really not as bad as it could be. So that makes you more optimistic in the hope in Allah's mercy.
Yes. MashaAllah, beautiful. So yes, brothers. Inshallah, this is what I have got for us to in this episode. And I really recommend Brother Faisal to get his own copy, inshallah.
Yeah.
Right? Inshallah, get his own copy and maybe can ask Brother Farid if he has some in his store. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Right. And the others also, don't forget to get this book. It's a very good book. It's an easy read. It's not gonna make you feel like, you know, you're judged or something like this, right? Sometimes when you read a book, you will feel like, oh, I'm feeling really judged right now, right? Because of the things that the authors say, right? But no, this book is the way that the author writes is really, really mashallah.
Oh, so this book is published by Dawah Corner, this English translation, is it?
The publisher is Darus Sunnah. But I think I've seen it in Dawah Corner bookstore. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What did I
say? All right, so with that, I would like to say sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Barakallahu fikum.
Okay, jazakallahu khairan, Brother Shahmi, for the book review. I hope the listeners get benefit as I did. So we end the session with subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.